We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On Thursdays around here, we do something called the Multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. It is a look at one of sports' great what-ifs, what could have beens. Let's hit the music.
Exploring sports' biggest what-ifs and could-have-beens. Let's dive into the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff.
All right, we found ourselves talking a lot about the Warriors, Perloff, in the last couple days.
Yeah.
And as we've been talking about the Warriors and whether or not they're going to make the playoffs, and you and I have this side show bet of, you know, between the Warriors and the Houston Rockets about who's going to make the play-in, we were just deep diving a little bit back into Golden State. So the multiverse today, the sports what if or what could have been, what if Kevin Durant never went to the Warriors?
Okay.
An all-time great sliding doors moment for the NBA. What does the world look like if KD never goes to the Warriors? I'll give you the floor first. What do you think happens? How do both team and player, what alternate universe are we living in?
You're not going to like it. What happens is not going to help your guy, LeBron.
Okay.
Because
LeBron is involved.
It is my long-held theory that the Warriors did not need Kevin Durant to keep on winning titles. And I think they should have won the title when Cleveland came back from 3-1. I think Steph Curry was secretly injured that season. He hurt his knee earlier in the playoffs. I think Steph Curry was a little watered down. We know about Draymond. But I think the Warriors could have won. And if Steph had won without KD, then you would have a very robust Steph Curry versus LeBron James for greatest player of this era. And I think he would have won. I think they would have beaten LeBron without KD in the next two finals. So all of a sudden we have the Steph Curry legacy is in a completely different place. As for Kevin Durant, I don't think Kevin Durant ever wins anywhere else because he definitely was not going to win in Oklahoma City. As he said, I just read a recent interview. He said on All That Smoke, I was tired of being the only one on the team who could hit an outside shot. They were just designed poorly for the NBA playoffs. I don't think he was going to win there. Where was he going to go? Maybe Boston? There was just not an easy answer for him to go to a team that was going to beat Golden State. He wasn't going to team up with LeBron. He might be a bus rider, but he's not that big a bus rider. So he was not going to break into the championship ring. So his legacy goes down. But to me, the big takeaway is Steph wins without him, and then we're having a real Steph Curry versus LeBron James debate.
Man, interesting. So we're doing the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. We go through sports what-ifs and what could have beens. Today we're doing what if KD, Kevin Durant, had never joined the Golden State Warriors, had never joined. Now, what's interesting about that is you think that Curry is hurt in the all-time debate,
yeah,
because Durant was a teammate?
100%. Because he lost those two NBA Finals MVPs to Durant. Yes, of course. You don't think that Curry's legacy is watered down by having KD there?
I don't think so. I don't see it that way with Curry. I always see that this had a bigger impact on Durant being the bus rider because it was Curry's team. And he was the no doubt leader of it. And I think that still led to a lot of friction, quite frankly, because I think Durant thought he was going to be hailed as like the, hey guys, I'm here and I'm putting us over the top to be this all time great team. And the love was still so big for Curry that he could never sort of connect with teammates, fan base, whatever it was.
But when he actually went to the Long Island and recruited KD, he was basically saying, we're not good enough as we are. And in my mind, they didn't need to do that. If they were really about the legacy, they would have ran him back with the core four and just been the Golden State Warriors that just won 73 games. I mean, it's a bit unusual that they're the ones who said, we need KD. I think that definitely weakened his stance because you don't really hear a LeBron-Curry debate. I know our boss thinks Curry is better, but if he had been able to beat him one-on-one instead of two-on-one, it was definitely two-on-one. It was KD and Curry. Then it would have looked much different to me.
Interesting. All right, we're doing the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff, which is sports what-ifs and what could have beens. Today we're asking, what if KD had never joined the Golden State Warriors? So in my opinion, I believe that KD still would have won a title in OKC. And the reason I think that is because not only was that OKC team put together, you know, you still have Sam Presti, who's still there, who's thought of as one of the great general managers. He got rid of James Harden after OKC lost in the finals to the Miami Heat because Harden was terrible in that finals, right? Part of the reason. And they couldn't pay everybody, but part of the reason. And you know what? He was 100% right that James Harden has continued to be a playoff failure. Now, that was and would end up being a good move. The next move,
whoa,
I think Sam Presti would have figured out.
Whoa. Stop there. You're saying getting rid of James Harden was a good move?
Yes, because he's such a playoff choker.
Okay.
So you have to get Harden off the team. And then I think if KD had stayed, and you mentioned he said, I didn't want to stay because I was the only one who could hit an outside shot. I think eventually he goes to the front office and says, you got to get Russell Westbrook out of here. And Russ would have had a lot of value then to be traded and bring in something else. Russell Westbrook then is not how we think of Russell Westbrook now. That was like, you know, Russ Westbrook. Like, that's not his reputation. He still had yet to win an MVP at that point. His reputation was, you know, sky high. So I think they do end up trading Russ out. I think they do end up building a championship team. And I do think that KD wins. Listen, they were up 3-1 on the Golden State Warriors and collapsed before KD left OKC to go join those Golden State Warriors. It's not like they were so far behind what Steph Curry and those guys were doing. They were right there with them.
Yeah,
and then KD left and joined the Warriors, and it tilted the scales in the Western Conference so much.
I mean, there were a lot of years that James Harden was right there, too. But even if James Harden could push the Warriors to 7 games, we knew he was never going to get over that hump. And in my opinion, Russell Westbrook was never going to finish that series.
Okay, but what about KD? See, if you give a different cast of characters, I think KD wins a ring in OKC.
Yeah, but I don't understand exactly. How were they going to get rid of Russell? How long was all that going to take to reshape? And look at the shooters around him. They were just, he was dead right. They were a terrible shooting team. There was nothing there for him. I don't see that team as a brink of a title to me. And that's why he got out of there. I mean, that speaks, all you need to know is he didn't hate Oklahoma City. He was fine living there.
Oh, yeah.
He just thought, I'm never going to win a title here.
So that's the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff, the what if, what could have been. We do this every Thursday at this time. And today's question is, what if KD had never joined the Warriors? Now, another part of my multiverse here with KD is if he stays in Oklahoma City, Perloff, we never talk about him as a bus rider. That whole thing goes away. The burner accounts go away. The cupcake stuff goes away. Like, all the other, we talk about the basketball side, the off the court side, Kevin has a totally different reputation, I think, if he never leaves.
Yeah, but he's not, I mean, he almost definitely is in my mind, he's in the Charles Barkley never won a title category. I mean, let's see, maybe I'm missing something. Has he come really close since he left Golden State? He almost won that series against the Bucks when he was on the Nets, but he's not winning another time. So he's going to go down with 2 rings because of Golden State, but I think there's no way he sheds that. He's nothing. He's not even on the championship bus unless he goes to Golden State.
Well, but they had made the finals already as a young team in OKC.
2012, yeah, but I totally disagree. I don't think their trajectory was towards a title. I mean, honestly, Harden did better than those guys eventually in Houston. I don't think that that OKC team was going to win. And I think that's why he left. And I remember when he left, I was like, yeah, of course he left. He knows that there's no way this OKC team can win it all.
So that's the multiverse, Maggie and Perloff. I think KD, if a sports what if or what could have been, if we're doing KD never goes to the Golden State Warriors, Perloff's imagining him
sort of floating around, yep. And then it's Steph Curry time. Well, let me ask you, do you think that Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay Thompson could have won another title in that part of the 2010s without KD? Did they need him to get over the top again? And part of my argument, by the way, is that they eventually won another one once they all got on the same page, right, again, right, in 2021. So, or sorry, 2021, 2022. So I think I don't think they needed KD. In fact, I look back on it now. I'm like, why did they go get KD? Well, they didn't need him. Give KD to someone else.
They recruited him heavy. I mean, yeah, Draymond was recruiting him that whole season while he was even in OKC. I still think the Warriors would have won. Yeah, I do. Because I think if we play this out and it would have still been those Cavs teams that would have been making the finals from the Eastern Conference. And I do think they were much better than the Cavs.
But, and again, by the way, in my version of the multiverse too, maybe LeBron gets another one too. It's closer to Jordan because basically once KD went to Golden State, it was over.
It was over.
It was game over for the next two seasons.
Yeah.
And it limited LeBron's rings. And to me, it limited Steph's legacy. So that, to me, is the big takeaway of this multiverse. I just can't get with you that he would have won in OKC or even stayed in OKC. Even if he had signed that deal, eventually I think, to me, this is a precursor to Giannis. Eventually, stars get frustrated. I think it was not going to work. So but you think that Thunder would be champions?
I do. I think he would have won a title there. 855-212-4-CBS. Okay, again, the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. We do this every Thursday at this time, which is a sports what if, what could have been. Today, it's what if KD had never gone to the Warriors. EJ, you want to give us your spin on this one?
KD, I think, wins a championship with the Thunder. I agree that there's a great chance that Russell Westbrook gets traded as they continue to hit that wall and not make it through. But I'm also not convinced that they couldn't have won even with Russ and KD together. Because one thing I think we kind of forget when it comes to teams that won titles is the wear and tear that comes with going all the way deep into the playoffs and trying to repeat. The Warriors had it somewhat easy having such a talented roster, having someone like KD. They made it look easy.
Right.
But as we saw, it wasn't. They got pushed to seven games by James Harden. It showed you how hard it still is to repeat as champion. I think this idea that it would have just been LeBron and Steph just trading rings back and forth, that wouldn't have happened. Somebody else would have came in there because we've seen for the last several years all these other guys win. Giannis win. Jokic win. Like, other guys are coming in there winning. Russ Westbrook next year became an MVP. And the one thing I'll say as well is that Thunder team was really young when KD left. Like, we can talk about Russ and West and KD being in his prime. Serge Ibaka was 26, about to become a two-time defensive player, all defensive team the next 2 years. You had Steven Adams was only 22 years old. So you had some young guys in your core that would have also gotten better, that would have also become championship caliber players. Serge Ibaka helped the Raptors win a championship. So I really think that they would have found a way to win. And I do agree that KD's legacy would have been totally different.
But he was there 10 years. It's not like he didn't try to win with the Thunder. I think he was hitting his head against a wall there, it felt like to me.
A little bit, yeah. But I mean, how many times do guys, you know, struggle and eventually they break through? I think that's honestly why people are so frustrated with KD when this decision came. Because we saw Michael go through 8-9 years in Chicago, hitting his head against the wall against the Pistons. And guess what? Pistons got old. Bulls got better. They entered their prime. And then they took over. Like, I think that's what's so frustrating for me about it is because I felt like I watched, if someone's a Steph Curry fan, that Thunder team was terrifying in that series. They were dominating the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, it took a Klay Thompson miracle game. I mean, game of all games for Klay.
And we keep always banging on Russell Westbrook, but it took a Kevin Durant absolute stinker in game six to even get that to game seven.
Yep.
He was the one that cost him that series, not Russell Westbrook.
So why did he leave?
He left because he took the easy way out. It's not a rocket science. Like it's the Warriors had a stacked roster. If you add a guy like him to a 73 win team, it was the easiest path to championship. And I'm not even here to criticize whether or not that was whatever. That's the thing he did. But that's why it wasn't like he was on some team that was they made the finals a couple years before. They were a consistent playoff team. It wasn't like he was on some bottom feeder that were lucky to make the playoffs every year. He was on like a title contender.
So the other part too that you know gets a little lost in history is there was this unprecedented salary cap spike that happened directly preceding that offseason, which allowed the Warriors to even fit KD onto the team that already had stars. Steph Curry had signed a team-friendly deal because he was dealing with ankle injuries before that. So a lot of financial things had to come together as well. Again, Multiverse of Maggie and Perloff every Thursday at this time, Today we're doing sports what-ifs, what could have been, what if KD never joined the Warriors?
Okay. You guys probably definitely think LeBron would have won in Cleveland then, right?
Yeah, he wins another one, I think.
No, I'm saying if he had never gone to Miami, do you think LeBron would have won?
I'm just saying, it's the same dynamic. Don't give away all the secret stuff.
The same dynamic. He had to leave to win a title. KD clearly had to win to leave a title. Same.
It's not the same. I'm going to push back on that real quick because LeBron did not have a player next to him as good as Russell Westbrook. It was not the same.
Oh, God. That's your argument? Russell. Oh, my God.
Name the
you know what he shot
Name
that
the
year?
Name the player.
Anybody. If the ball boy had suited up, he's less of a detriment than Russell Westbrook was.
Dude, that's how you know who knows
any ball. Key game, Russell Westbrook, just leave 5 feet off him, you'll take a terrible
except
clunker.
Game six when KD choked and they lost because he didn't show up.
You probably would have voted for Russell for MVP.
He was awesome. What's
Because you need to hit shots to win NBA games.
We got Russell Westbrook can't make shots.
Yeah. Dude can't shoot.
We are thinking about the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff, the what if, what could have been. Today we're asking, what if Kevin Durant had never gone to the Warriors? If he would have stayed in OKC, I will give you that Russell Westbrook back then was thought of very different than Russell Westbrook is now.
He's a superstar.
It is
Yeah, because
different.
The media doesn't understand basketball until recently when they started like, hey, wait, is this guy efficient? He shot 29.6 from three the last year KD was there. Why do you think KD could get away from that guy faster?
But three-point shooting, there's also rebounds. There's also scoring regular points. There's also assists. There's ways to impact the game that isn't just shooting a three-pointer.
Well, I mean, it's just like there's so much work to do when you have Russell, because you have to have the equipment team to reinforce the backboard because of all the ridiculous bricks he throws up. Anyway, I'm not a big fan.
We're picking that up. Anyway, you're welcome to weigh in on the multiverse if you have a thought on this. The question today, what if KD had never gone to the Warriors? It's one of our sports what-ifs or what could have beens. Coming up, Jordan Love's making some big claims about the Packers in 2024. So what did the young quarterback say? We will tackle that. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I've gone rogue on a couple polls today, Maggie. They've not gotten approval from the team. I just, whenever you guys say something I completely disagree with, I assume the majority is with me and I throw up a poll to make me feel better.
Yeah, your own competing poll on your own social media channels.
Right. So there's two things I've totally disagreed with you guys on today. If you were Caitlin Clark, would you take $5 million to play in the Big Three? I thought it would be 90% said no. 64% say yes.
Perloff, it's $5 million.
That's nothing. Caitlin Clark's going to make that in a weekend eventually. Eventually.
I feel like the way you word questions gets weird answers, because I wouldn't have worded it like that.
I think you're much more, you just think you're absolutely with everybody on anything. You don't understand when you're against the grain.
No, I agree with you on this take I'm saying. And I think the way you worded this is not how I would have worded this. You kind of screwed us.
How would you have worded it?
You should have said, you said if you were Caitlin Clark, well, I'm not a millionaire or someone who has access to NIL money or whatever's going to. So, like, I think you should have just said, you know, should Caitlin Clark go to the big three for $5 million? Should she? Because that's really what it comes down to.
The other one that shocked me, would Kevin Durant win a title in OKC? I thought that would be 90 to 10. No. It was 57% said yes.
Yeah, of course.
Well, this is our
there's no way Kevin Durant. Yeah, these debates, people got to call in and back me up here because I feel like I am making total sense and you guys and everybody out there is arguing with me.
Well, this is the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. We do a sports what if or what could have been. And today we're asking, what if KD had never left Oklahoma City? And I think he would have won a title in OKC, and Perloff thinks he still would have bounced around the league, never would have won.
Well, he had 10 years
still
in
be
OKC.
The bus rider.
Would have had 3 more years OKC, no title, eventually would have gone off elsewhere. But he has not won outside of Golden State, and I think at the end of the day, that's going to be his legacy.
I think there's probably a third poll that we put up today that you may also be on the losing side.
Let me hear this.
Are chicken fingers fried chicken? Right? Or how did you word it,
well,
EJ?
Well, we can do that, but the question we did, because we were talking specifically about Raising Cane's, is do you consider Raising Cane's a fried chicken spot? That is up now our poll. But
and I have to, I'm going to win that one, because it's not a fried chicken
spot.
Well, it's
50-50 after two votes.
Two votes. We just put it up. So
does that mean Chick-fil-A is a fried chicken spot?
I think it is.
Yeah, well, you also can get grilled chicken there. But it's yes.
No, Chick-fil-A is not a fried chicken spot. It's a chicken sandwich place.
No, I mean, half the time I go there, I don't get a sandwich. I get nuggets or strips.
Right. If you have chicken fingers,
yeah,
that's fried chicken.
Technically, yes, it is fried chicken. But you know, it's not Kentucky Fried Chicken. When I think of fried chicken, I think of wings and legs and bones.
All different parts of the chicken.
Yeah, yeah. I think Chick-fil-A is a chicken sandwich joint, and Raising Cane's is chicken strips.
So I think...
Chicken tenders, whatever you want to call
it. And I know what you're saying. So I feel like, because Popeye's is like, people eat the strips almost as much as the regular chicken. Like, that's like... The strips are just so you think that if you can't be a fried chicken place unless you sell bone in fried chicken,
absolutely
like drums, wings,
thank you,
thighs, everything.
Don't Kentucky, agree, but I get your point.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, if they just all of a sudden said we're getting rid of everything, we're just going to do chicken strips, it would no longer be Kentucky Fried Chicken, it'd be Kentucky Fried Chicken strips.
You know what? I applaud the people at Kentucky Fried Chicken because their commercial, like, they are innovating still. I feel like Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell are the only two places that are still really trying to find new ways, new recipes, and new innovative things to get either Mexican food or fried chicken and stuff. I'm watching the NCAA tournament, as I'm sure you guys are, and I'm seeing an ad for Kentucky Fried Chicken where they're selling pizza. And instead of dough, it's fried chicken.
What?
You know, tip of the cap to these people. Like, they are sitting around smoking a lot of ganja and being like, how can we get fried chicken into more food? And I applaud that. Oh. Like, they had Kentucky Fried Chicken once did a chicken sandwich where the bread was chicken.
The double down. Right. Never forget it.
I mean, that kind of brilliance and innovation is what's lacking in the food service industry right now. We saw the story the other day that McDonald's is going to start putting Krispy Kremes.
That's not good. That's not good for me on the road. Stopping at McDonald's for a coffee and it's going to be sitting there for me.
Well, got to be honest, like, I got to go to the experts on this one. That it was Sean Marash who tweeted, you know, it's going to be a Whopper with the Krispy Kremes as the bread soon. And I was like, man, I wouldn't have gone there. But you know that's coming. Marash is right about that. And only his mind really would have gone there.
Am I weird that I can't eat beef at a fast food restaurant? I don't trust it. So I haven't had a burger from like McDonald's. Now I'll have it like Five Guys or like Shake Shack. That's a little, I think, more upscale fast food. But like a Burger King or whatever, I can't do a burger.
So you get chicken.
Yeah, every time.
Well, I think the problem.
I'm not a good idea.
Good luck making that math work in your brain.
I know.
But have fun with that.
But here's the thing I think the issue is not where the meat comes from. It's now we realize all that white bread that comes with it. You know, there's a little hamburger patty and you're eating a giant loaf of bread with that. And I think people are, that's why you don't get the hamburger, I thought. That's why I don't get it.
Because the carbs?
Yeah. Then did you see the movie The Killer where with Michael Fassbender that was on Netflix? This guy is a high protein, really svelte assassin. And he goes to McDonald's and orders 10 hamburgers, takes off all the bread and just has the patties. And I see people do that all the time now.
Yeah. See, this is my thing. If you're going to go to Mickey D's or whatever, just get what you're going to get. You know, like you're making a decision. I'm doing this today. Just eat it.
I don't know. There's 600 calories in a Big Mac. I don't know.
I don't think that's the top of mind for most people. I think it is.
I think that's why you've seen the fast food industry change so much. Is some people like that, but a lot of people like the Chipotles of the world where you can. I mean, do you go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac and a shake?
But here's the thing. I'm more of a Wendy's person, but when I do go to Wendy's and I need to scratch the itch of that craving, I just go for it.
Right.
Like, if I'm going to go there and I'm going to say, like, man, I'm really in the mood for, you know, a double stack or whatever, I want to go there, get the whole thing, scratch the itch, and then I can move on with my life.
There's a lot of cop-outs. Like, I'll get a bacon, egg, and cheese on a wheat bagel as if that's really changing the dynamic of the thing. Like, it to me, always, I'll have the extra value meal, supersize it with a Diet Coke. Like, just don't, just get a Coke.
Yeah.
Like, that people criticize that.
You're saving 1/8 of the negativity of the visit. Just go all in.
I've heard that a lot before, but Diet Coke is pretty good. Tastes good anyway.
See, I think it tastes. I'd rather drink like sewer water.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
So, like, to our me, next challenge.
Yeah, if you're doing it just to be because it says Diet Coke, you're doing it wrong. And if you like the taste of Diet Coke, that's another problem that we'll address in a separate show.
Well, it's been kind of revealed that Diet Coke doesn't even actually work. So, I still think it's the best selling soda in America or close to it.
Ugh.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. But the reality, I can't go get, if it was up to me and I was just going to go all out, I'd go eat 3 McGriddle sandwiches a day.
Well, that's just your preference.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't had the McGriddle, by the way.
Well, just, Raising Cane's first.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to here.
And speaking of Raising Cane's, I'm on their, like Who We Are page on their website, and you search words. The word fried does not appear on the page describing what they are, where they came from. So it's chicken fingers. Not saying it's wrong. It is fried chicken by the way it's cooked, but they don't even use the word fried chicken to describe what they're selling.
I mean, they're known for their sauce, too. Like, they have a different jam going on there.
Yeah, but it just says, chicken fingers, chicken fingers, chicken fingers. They don't even use the word fried, like, we fried the chicken.
It's a marketing tool.
Yeah. It's just not there.
Fried in there. We got headlines, yes?
Last night, game 64 for Victor Wembanyama. That ankle issue that kept him out of the Spurs last game was nothing. So just one more GP, and he can officially win Rookie of the Year. So buy your beef jerky. Gas up to Tercel. Wemby, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 blocks in another San Antonio win, 118-111 in Utah. In Orlando, Draymond Green played 3 minutes and 36 seconds, but then...
From a very reliable source, there was a very heated conversation between...
Draymond and an official.
To the point where it was a little awkward.
So awkward, so sultry that Draymond got ejected, at least for last
brilliant.
Night.
You know, when we come in and Colleen Wolf is your screensaver, we're going to have to call somebody, okay? We're going to alert Colleen that she should stay 50 feet away from you at all times.
Yeah. We'll ring right now, I think.
I did notice that I think she's hosting Good Morning Football this morning, so she's really close to us right now.
That's right.
Well, anywho, we might have to reach out to her and tell her to look over her shoulder.
To work from Philadelphia. Go back
just
to LA as soon as possible.
Yeah, Colleen, sorry we made it weird.
But back to the Warriors. So no Draymond. They'd have Steph for the final few minutes.
We need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, he'll be available. That's what's got to happen.
Steph might like Draymond there long-term, bigger picture, but he was not happy with him last night. He scored 17 in a 101-93 win. His Warriors stay 10th in the West, a game up on the Rockets, who extended their win streak to 10, 132-126 in OT in OKC. LeBron was back for the Lakers last night, 23 points, 14 rebounds, 12 assists in a 136-124 win in Memphis. And the Knicks hammered the Raptors in Toronto, 145-101. The Raptors, the second team ever with 2 40-point home losses in a calendar month, despite a career-high 23 points last night from Grady Dick Bridges. Now,
wait, how many people hit the under on their props, though?
Ooh,
bigger question.
Probably not
the Raptors.
That game. 143 to 1, whatever. Probably not. I was looking up that Nick Ross, was trying to find a name to match.
There isn't
Grady
one.
Dick in the, and I know Dick Bridges was apparently a stretch for some people on the show.
Yeah,
I couldn't even find a stretch for the Knicks. It was hard. I was so disappointed.
I know. I was hoping that. So, you know, some universe, Precious Achiuwa wore Precious on his back.
Right.
As opposed to Achiuwa.
In the 1970s in the ABA, when guys had, like, you know, nicknames on the back of their jersey, like, he probably would have been Precious on the back of his jersey.
Yeah. That would have been perfect. That might have been the winner.
Yeah. That'd be the one.
Wait, yeah, Josh Hart. Did you mention Josh Hart?
I thought about Hart. It just, Hart, Dick, I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't go for me.
It's the closest one, but it doesn't work.
It's close.
If you had an I in there, then it'd be... I don't know. Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just going to make a joke, but he's a real person. Wasn't there an assistant named Dick Harter on the Bulls?
Feels like an old school NBA coach, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'll tell you what. That's not... I saw how you pronounce that name just to take you behind the curtain. Yeah. Bogus was surgical in how he got that name out. There's another name. I remember doing a play-by-play... back in my play-by-play days, and the coach's name of the women's basketball program at Towson University was Mike Hunt.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
Wait, is it really the name, or does somebody call and say, was that a prank call, or was that really happening?
It was really his name. He was the head coach of the women's basketball team at Towson University when I was at GW.
Wow.
Good luck with that one, everyone.
say his full name.
I just say Coach.
I had a teammate in high school football whose last name was Butt, B-U-T-T. We need to get a Butt in the NBA and then get him to take a picture with.
I worked with the guy. I worked with the guy's last name was Butts.
Yeah, there was a
great sense of humor because you have to, you know.
But it was, his was literally Butt, B-U-T-T,
like Jake Butt.
Yes, like Jake Butt. Exactly. Yeah. Let's get him an NBA jersey. Let's get him a roster spot.
First name Seymour.
By the way, this is a little bit different in terms of the humor, but you've seen the Ohtani Mookie Betts,
yeah,
jerseys back to back. So he's standing next, and it's Ohtani Betts.
Yeah.
Oh, I get
not it. Perfect for this particular moment for Shohei Ohtani and the particular scandal that he's facing.
Well, I saw the tweet that said Shohei to Ipe. No, I said Mookie Betts.
Right. not make my bets.
Not sports bets.
Oh, I was a little slow on that one. I said Mookie. Got it.
Because of rainouts for the Phillies and Mets, the first game of opening day, not until 3 Eastern today, Angels, Orioles in Baltimore. The world champion Rangers host the Cubs 7:30 tonight. The Capitals and Wizards are not leaving Washington, D.C. after all. An arena plan for Alexandria, Virginia died in the state's General Assembly, so owner Ted Leonsis has quickly announced plans for arena renovations in D.C. last night. And we mentioned Travis and Taylor Swift last hour for Hard Knocks. We also need a TV landing spot for Jason Kelce, the retired Eagle center, apparently in ESPN's crosshairs for their Monday night football coverage.
Bloody not a fan.
Why? You have an emergency over there?
Okay. Do you need to run to the bathroom?
No, what are they doing at ESPN?
They're doing what they do.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to watch anything on that network. Because unless it's Stephen A. Smith, Chris Russo, or Aikman and Buck.
Russo, he's a part-timer.
I don't want to see anybody on that network. It's nowhere near what it used to be, and it's really getting aggravating hearing all these names that come up in conversations about ESPN. Oh,
like,
woof.
I don't understand. Jason,
who offends
is it because you hate
ESPN?
Jason Kelce?
Who doesn't?
None of them are entertaining me, as far as I'm concerned.
You were doing so well, too. The week began with you saying, you know what? I'm good on Zach Wilson. I'll get back to you in September if he's still here.
It's my
and
opinion.
Now you're mad at Jason Kelce being on a show that you're not going to watch.
if they entertain me better, I would watch it. I don't watch it. I only watch for games. And for those two commentators. That's it. I'm sorry. That's how it is. I mean,
I'm going to call BS on you. I bet you watch Jay Billis. I bet you get college basketball information from Billis.
Fine.
Wait, Pipilotti? I don't get it.
No, I'm just saying. I think that Billis.
No way Pipilotti watches Jay Billis.
I think everyone gets their college stuff from Billis.
I like Billis, but I don't watch him.
Oh, okay.
I just think they've not hit the mark for a while on ESPN.
Well, my question is, we talked about it before, like the idea of putting Jason Kelce in a suit feels weird.
Set.
And it almost sounds like this is what this is going to be.
Was it a pregame show, right?
Right, yeah, a pregame show, what they're talking about, unless they're going to do something transformative.
You know what he'd be a good role? I think Jason Kelce would be a good, remember when Tony Siragusa, used to be on the sideline in a leather jacket and his hat? And he would be like a roving sideline reporter that wasn't as, you know.
Like, he also did like almost color on the
he
game.
He did color on the game.
Right. I think they tried in some way to do this with Booger McFarland at one
point.
Yeah,
that Booger Mobile where he was like outside. That was.
Yeah, RIP the Booger Mobile. But
Kelce would be a much better fit for that. I agree. That's great idea.
Don't put him in a suit having talking 30-second sound bites. Don't ask him to do that.
I think what you're getting at, Bly, there's no bigger difference between the TNT studio show and the ESPN NBA studio show. It's so embarrassing for ESPN to have the entertainment value of Charles and Shaq. And then, to me, the NFL is just as boring. I'm with Pete. Like, I never watch the Monday Night Crew. I maybe after the game I'll tune in, but I think ESPN likes this stuff being forgettable. They don't want to be too radical, right?
Am I crazy also to think, and shout out to everybody does pregame shows. I know they're all working hard, but like, I have a tough time. Well, alright.
Yeah, that was a nice disclaimer. Offense, but.
No, but I'm saying,
now.
At the same time, I feel like maybe it's because of just my orbit, and maybe just because we're also, our attention span is so short. I don't have time to really sit around for a pregame show, period. Like the thing I hate the most is going to Monday Night Football. Doesn't do that much, but NBA happens, and sometimes they do those special presentations on Saturday football games for NFL games where game starts at 8 o'clock or 8:30, and it's like, actually, you know, and then you have a countdown clock at 8:30, 15 minutes to kickoff or 15 minutes to tip. I'm like, no, don't trick me into watching more pregame show. I don't have time for it. Yeah. I don't.
It's just to sell commercials. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's why they're long.
The entire reason, to pull back the curtain, the entire reason why pregame shows exist is to sell advertising. Mm-hmm. So I think when you think about it in that vein, maybe you lower the bar a little bit.
But even like last night, I was watching Clippers Sixers at like 7:32, and I thought I was going to get tip off imminently. They're going back to the studio. That game didn't tip off until 7:45, listed 7:30. It's a Wednesday night in March.
I know.
Like, you don't need to oversell me on that one. Just get me Mike Breen, whoever else, and let's go. Let's play.
That's another guy, Mike Breen. Another guy.
Watch for Mike Breen.
Yes.
Good or bad?
Good.
Coach Mike. My former coach.
I know.
But is that, so the deal is still up. Their NBA deal with ESPN is up soon, right?
Yeah, the NBA is going to sign a new deal with probably a few different spots.
Oh,
ESPN, streaming services.
Get NBC back involved, please. I mean, let's get some other people. Doing
I don't think you're getting your Costas.
Get Round Ball Rock back, baby. Please. Let's go. Yeah,
Matt Kuchar is busy.
I know. They put Round Ball Rock now on college games. It doesn't sound the same.
Nope.
It's weird.
And in fact, it's on Fox also.
Oh, Fox. I'm sorry. Fox uses Round Ball Rock.
That also throws it off a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting your Saturday afternoon big NBA game. That's never coming back.
I can't get Amar Rashad doing NBA.
Not unless Michael Jordan loses 70 pounds and 20 years. That's never happening.
Thursday.
Or we have time travel.
Can we get Willow Bay?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, reason why I want to be a broadcaster.
Willow Bay.
And Summer Sanders.
I love
Summer
that
Sanders,
show.
The
that
goat.
I was always 11 a.m. and then you had your pregame show for the NBA at noon.
Yep. That was elite television.
I mean, listen, I find it annoying to go out of an Amazon app back to cable now for football. You think I'm going to do that for an NBA game? Oh my God, this could be a mess.
I can't believe this all started with Pete being so disgusted that ESPN may be trying to hire Jason Kelce. most obvious thing that was ever going to happen in the history of media.
You want a project? Put me on revitalizing ESPN and you'll get some.
I don't know. I heard your LeBron podcast ideas. No, thanks.
The 12-step plan.
The new name should be the...
Leading
bottles
Sports Center with wrestling.
Yeah. Wasting good bottles of wine
Turner,
on that
no
podcast.
Thanks.
Wasting good bottles of wine on that podcast. The Winers, that's what I call them.
The Winers pod. Listen, if you're going to talk inverted pick and rolls, you better be three bottles deep.
Yeah.
I better be three bottles deep.
I didn't listen to the... So, for people who may not know, LeBron James and J.J. Redick launched a podcast where they only talk X's and O's of basketball.
And hold on to your seats.
It's been released to varying reviews.
I saw, as I was walking, I saw a headline at Awful announcing that JJ's not surprised it was a hit. I'm like, nobody is. It's LeBron. How is it not going to be a hit?
You know who's got to be so ticked off about this? I was thinking about it. The fact that LeBron James and J.J. Redick have a podcast where they strictly talk basketball, you know KD's got to be incensed by this. His whole thing is always, it's all about basketball for me. You guys try to make it about something else. All I want to do is talk basketball. They finally launch a podcast that's only about basketball. Like, no, LeBron.
Well, it's crazy because he has his own media company. He could have launched this years ago.
Yeah.
Hasn't he done that?
No, well, he has his KD...
Boardroom. It's about business.
Yeah, and then he has another podcast. Forgive me, I don't remember the name, but I've watched it. They don't do what LeBron and JJ are doing. It's not that.
Do you honestly think this thing is going to last? I mean, how many times can they talk about inverted pick and rolls? Are they going to run out of plays by the fifth podcast?
Yeah, it's going to last until they don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Which is what, a month?
I don't know. But people like it.
LeBron James, to quote Bogus.
The clip that I posted yesterday, I thought was interesting to me. Sorry. Wine or not.
Have fun.
Inverted pick and rolls.
All right, JJ looks... like he was feeling the wine yesterday.
I didn't see that.
Little flushed.
They had to because this is it's the same shoot from the last one.
So they were into more of the wine.
Yeah, this is hour three in the wine. So you know what happens then.
Now, what they should add is Amari Stoudemire on that podcast.
He takes baths
and
wine.
And have him take the bath while he's doing the podcast.
Sorry, I jumped on your joke.
Great.
The what I would love if they did in this podcast, which they won't do, is take those expensive bottles of wine. Again, this is LeBron James and J.J. Redick have a podcast where they talk only X's and O's, deep X's and O's basketball, and they do it while drinking extremely expensive bottles of wine. Let's do the blind taste test and get these bougie, fancy schmancy bottles of shm 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 that no one can pronounce and put some Franzia next to it and put a $12 bottle of wine that you get at any old store, and let's see if they can tell the difference.
Yeah, no way.
I bet no way.
Yeah, what's a famous one? They did a test with Charles Shaw, Trader Joe's famous wine, and they
the $2 chuck.
They fooled like 9 out of 13 elite wine critics. You think the elite wine critics? Yeah, that actually, honestly, it's the wine. That's my major problem. I don't even care. I can't get past that. I don't care how brilliant their basketball analysis.
Why?
The fact that they're bragging about their red wine because they're athletes. I don't know. I admit I'm not into this wine thing. I'm like, I don't know.
So if they were drinking Gatorade,
drink whiskey.
Perloff's complaining about the wine. Pete's complaining about the whining.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You two
should team up and do a podcast.
I just think there are certain things that you drink and you brag about. I am not up with this wine thing. Like if I go to a bar, I don't drink, but my friend orders a margarita, I'm out. I don't even want to be there with him anymore.
Oh, this is getting into something a little different. We'll have to do
the same thing. Wine is way too soft to drink for pro athletes. Like you think football players are sitting there drinking wine and talking about X's and O's? No way. That's beer.
Was Peyton chugging things on the Manning cast?
No, but if he was, Peyton has a Bud Light commercial. I mean,
but you think
beer.
He's drinking Bud Light or he's drinking wine on a Monday night in his house?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait on the answer to that. Coming up, we get to Jordan Love. What he had to say about the Packers in 2024. We'll do that next. Welcome back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
To Maggie and Perloff, you know, it's a story we've been wanting to get to, and let's do it because Jordan Love was on the Pivot podcast. He's got big goals for 2024.
It's a great feeling, man. We're all very hungry for this upcoming year. But like you said, man, the confidence from, you know, top to bottom is there. You know, the organization believes that, you know, it's the perfect time to have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. And those conversations we had after that 49ers game were, man, like, work harder. Try and find ways to get better because next year we're going to do it. There's no more we're a young team. There's no more of those what ifs. Like, people know what we're about now, and obviously, you know, we'll have that target on our back. People are going to want to beat us. So, you know, we're hungry.
All right. I mean, really putting the lofty goals out there, and I can understand why they'd have the confidence because of how they played in the postseason and down the stretch, finishing the season 6-2 and then getting to the second round of the playoffs. But Perloff, I mean, we really only have about a half a season of awesome Jordan Love. The first 8-9 games of the year, he was only completing 58% of his passes, 14 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. It was still dicey for Love for the first half of the season. Now you get a good second half and one big playoff win against the Cowboys, and it's Super Bowl time?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because they still have him on a reasonable deal. They've had a good offseason, and they have a bunch of draft picks coming up. Yeah, they really should have beaten the Niners. I mean, that was, if they beat the Niners, and then I don't know if they beat the Lions, but yeah, they are on a Super Bowl trajectory for sure. And, you know, that's how the NFL's been, these young quarterbacks. I know Jordan Love's technically on a second contract, but that's how it's reasonable at this point. Yeah, it's kind of now or never for them, too, because eventually they're going to have to pay Jordan Love huge money and not have this roster around them. So I think this is exactly where they're headed.
Well, the now or never, they're probably going to extend him before the season starts. So, yes, he'll go into this
this season.
And then I bet the big deal kicks in right after this year. You know, I always hesitate just a tiny bit when you have teams that, you know, take a step forward. Sometimes they can just continue on. And other times you see it's not always a perfect straight line here. Everyone and their mom is going to be picking the Packers.
Well, the Lions are also there. I mean, the Lions are, that's the thing. They're kind of mirror images of each other. Which one do you pick? They're both young, exciting, up-and-coming NFC North teams. So I think they're a little pin behind Detroit. So I think more people pick Detroit than Green Bay is right behind them. And by the way, you know who the AFC version? It's like the Houston Texans. Same thing. Young, up-and-coming team.
Is anyone going to say a Packers-Texans Super Bowl?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think because of this formula of the young quarterback. I think the young, inexpensive quarterback, Joe Burrow made it in Cincinnati. Why can't Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud? Jared Goff's a different situation, but yeah, I think you're going to see. I'm leaning Lions Texans. Why not? You got to sound interesting too. You can't just do Chiefs Niners.
Well, the Lions now is not a big stretch. They made it to the championship game.
Where do you think the Packers
had
are?
A 21 point lead or whatever.
But I don't think the Packers are a big stretch too. They're similar to the Lions because the Packers had the Niners beat. They were ahead. Got really rainy at the end. I think they're right there, fifth or sixth in odds, probably. I would imagine. I think it's. Do you not put Super Bowl expectations on them?
Forgive me, I want to wait on this one. I do want to wait.
Can't wait too long because then you're going to have to be paying $200 million for Jordan Love. It's going to be harder.
Yeah, 855-212-4CBS. Quickly, Bills in California. Bill, got about 15 seconds here. You had a thought about fast food burgers, a conversation we had earlier in the show?
Yeah, well, just to let you guys know, I'm in that. I go to the auctions all the time. Every fast food restaurant out there goes to the auctions. They buy all the old dairy cows that come through there for pennies on the dollar. That's how they get all their value menu burgers. They just grind those things down. That's what they get. And when you go to a place and they say, oh, it's 100% Angus or whatever, all they do is they mix some Angus in with that, and they can call it that. So
wow.
Just,
Bill,
it doesn't matter what
you're giving us an education today. Bill, thank you. And good morning to everybody. If you are thinking about fast food meat. Coming up, is there a quarterback who could knock Caleb Williams out of number one?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.